Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, that is true. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. The journey just beginning for Jalen Hurts. Second year as a starter, third in the league in the Super Bowl, a finalist for the NFL MVP award. Yeah, I'm excited to watch this journey. I am live broadcasting on Radio Row or Media Row in Phoenix. WIP Goes Daisy Championship coverage brought to you by SEPTA, the Philly way to go. 215-592-9494. By the way, is a TV's set up here. I think every TV in here actually has the NFL Network on right now. And they are replaying the start of Super Bowl 52. Watch the Eagles come running out. The dream's a nightmare. So an exciting night to put that on. I'll probably watch that at my hotel when I'm done on the air tonight. 215-592-9494 to hop in. All right, we're going to play the Sirianni press conference coming up about 20 minutes for you guys. You missed it today. Hear what Nick had to say. So we'll bring that to you coming up. And we'll get to the phone lines in a second here. But I do want to bring this up because I saw it a lot of places. Nick sent me an article about this today. I think Seamus Clancy wrote about it over at Philly Voice. It seems bizarre. So apparently it's really hard to find right now Eagles jerseys with the Super Bowl patch, like the green Eagles jersey they're going to wear in the Super Bowl. And it's really hard to find. Apparently here in Arizona, they're just selling the gray ones. Nick, have you seen this?
Because, yeah.
And do you know anyone trying to get a jersey?
Yes.
It's weird that they wouldn't have plenty of, you know, normal green Eagles jerseys ready to go.
I don't get it. Like, my girlfriend's dad was actually trying to get one of the green jerseys, and they're all sold out. Like, they have nothing left. Like, I don't understand why they went the gray route. Like, the gray you can get anywhere, like, any size, online, in-store. But the green, like, the jersey they're actually wearing in the Super Bowl, it's nowhere to be found. I don't know how, like, I don't know if it has something to do with logistics or, I don't know, with shipping. It makes no sense to me. Do they not make enough?
Well, that would be a big oversight on someone. Yeah, the weird part is the jersey you want is, like you said, the one they're going to wear in the game, right? They're just like last time, 5 years ago, they're wearing the home greens, their normal green jersey we see every Sunday when they're at home. That's what they're wearing. And so you want the one with the patch on. And I'm sure, you know, over the next few months or years, Hurts Super Bowl patch jersey is going to be a major jersey you
Hot
see
item.
Everywhere. Yeah, like the Foles one, right? The Foles from the Super Bowl 5 years ago became one of those.
But I don't think you can get, like, any of the players in green right now. Like, I think it's all just gray and this weird coloring. I don't know why you wouldn't just print all green.
And the gray part makes it even more bizarre because that's not even a color we see, right? Like, they don't wear gray. That's not a jersey. Like, that's just, like, I don't even know why you'd have that. I mean, like, if I was going to buy a jersey, I'd want to have either the midnight green or to have the black, because I think the black is the other cool one they wear.
Right.
Or, you know, yeah, I don't mind road jerseys, but whatever. But a gray I wouldn't want. So that is weird. We'll keep an eye on it. If we see any updates on what is going on, if you've had trouble buying a jersey, let us know. 215-592-9494. Jack is in West Deptford. Hey, Jack.
Okay, Joe. Good to talk to you, man. Yeah, I want to talk about the Jalen Hurts is throwing and some questions to you about the Kansas City receivers.
Okay.
That is throwing. Everybody's talking. He overthrew A.J. Brown last time in another game he did. Anytime so, overthrow. It's not a high percentage pass in the first place, the long bomb. I've seen Josh Allen, Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, Burrow. I've seen Josh Allen three or four times in one game overthrow guys by quite a bit. So, I mean, it's not the highest percentage pass. I've had experts on the TV, I heard, they say they think he throws one of the better long ball throwers in the league. He puts
well, Jack, I would agree with you. And I think all year he threw it very well. I think the line of demarcation is since he's come back from the injury, I think he's only 3 of 10. So he hasn't thrown it as well or just it hasn't connected. Let's put it that way. Like, it hasn't worked as well since the injury. So I think that's where it's like a little bit of worry there. Is his shoulder in the right spot to throw that deep pass?
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing impression I got of him. When I first saw him a couple years ago, I saw him throw some long balls, and he was throwing to Rager, and Rager was dropping him. He was stopped running. He wasn't running the long route. But I said, I think this guy throws a good long ball. So I think he does. He gives him a chance, too. He throws the 50-50 ball up pretty nicely also. My point about Kansas City, the receivers, I think that's the key. If they get these receivers back that are hurt for them to make a game of it. And I wanted to say, they must have some decent receivers, but Holmes didn't throw for 5,000 yards throwing to Kelsey. And my question is about these receivers. Could you tell me something about their stats and about their health for this game and about who's their best receiver? That's
yeah,
my question.
Yeah, it's a good question. And Jack, I appreciate the phone call because you're right. There's no way he gets to that many yards if it is a bad receiving corps. Now, I do think, and we saw this with Peyton Manning at times in his career. We saw it with Tom Brady a lot when he had Chris Hogan and Edelman. Like, a great quarterback can make a very pedestrian group better than they really are. So just to go through it, and we know Mecole Hardman is out for this game. So he only had 297 receiving yards this year. Kelsey was their leader. 1,338. He's the guy. 110 receptions, 152 targets. Juju Smith-Schuster's basically been their number two. 101 targets, 78 catches, 933 yards. So Smith-Schuster is their number two. Valdez-Scantling was their third guy, 687 yards, and he's kind of a big play guy with 16.4 a catch. Here's someone I am concerned about a little bit, and I would keep an eye on this game. 56 receptions, 512 yards to one of their running backs, Jerick McKinnon. So their fourth leading receiver was a running back. And then they used Justin Watson. Three. I mean, they had, let's just put it this way. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys with at least 200 yards. So, you know, Mahomes will kind of throw at anyone in any game. Like a guy like Noah Gray, a second tight end, had almost 300 yards receiving. Sky Moore, a rookie, 250 yards receiving. So it's not just one guy. It's like 8 or 9 that Mahomes just finds, and I think every week is a little bit different with the game plan. But it's Kelce one by a lot. Smith-Schuster's been pretty much the two all year. I'd say Valdez-Scantling's the third. But the guy I think about, two names I would think about in this game. McKinnon out of the backfield, 56 catches. And I do think Kadarius Toney, they traded for him in October from the Giants, from a bust first-round pick from the Giants. He's got a lot of speed, a lot of ability. He can make big plays. He's kind of a gadget guy for them. So those are the guys. But really, I mean, he's thrown touchdowns this year. I mean, how about this? They have thrown receiving touchdowns to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 guys. It's tough to just to lock down one guy. But, you know, it all starts with Kelce. Let's go to Lee in Bent Salem. Lee's got a jersey point here. What's up, Lee?
Yeah, I've been trying to find those jerseys for a couple weeks. I even ordered one. I'm thinking I'm going to get one. The only one I could get was a black Hurts jersey for my wife. It's not even getting here till the 27th, which, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of getting it. Even the Eagles Pro Shop, if you want the one attached to the stadium, all they have is gray. Race, I don't know who decided gray was a color, but they're missing out. I was even telling my wife, they're missing out on so much sales of green jerseys with the, you know, everyone wants a jersey with the patch on, the one they're wearing.
So the funny part, Lee, is a couple weeks ago, or when they made the playoffs, I have a son that's 8 and my daughter's 5, and I was going to take them to, you know, the local sporting goods store and get them, like, playoff stuff. And then my wife was like, well, should we wait? Do you think they're really going to make the Super Bowl? And I was like, I think they're going to make it. And then she made the point, like, why don't we wait? Because they already have a bunch of Eagles stuff. Like, instead of a playoff T-shirt or a playoff thing, I'm like, why don't we wait to the Super Bowl? Because then we'll get, you know, whatever. And I was thinking of, I was going to get, because he has the Devontae Smith jersey, but he doesn't have a Hurts. And he's been asking. I was like, and I thought about, I'll get the Super Bowl jersey. But it's so weird. You're right. They are missing out on sales.
Yeah, and it's the one they're wearing, and you want to wear the one they're wearing, the green one with the patch on. I got a black one with the patch, but it doesn't even make any sense. I don't even know if they're going to wear those next year. I wear my, you know, throwback Cunningham jersey. That's my go-to, but, you know, she wanted a Hurts jersey. And like I said, you can't even get the ones from the Eagles Pro Shop attached to the stadium that the Eagles run. They have nothing in green. It doesn't matter if it's Hurts or anyone else. They just don't have green jerseys.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's nuts.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't. And gray, I don't know who did. Gray has nothing to do with Eagles. Even if it was white or a black, anything else besides gray seems like it would make sense. I don't know where they got the gray from.
Lee, I don't know. Again, they don't wear gray. And that's and appreciate the call. That's part of the bizarreness of this. Gray isn't one of their jerseys. Not even an alternate. And I mean, whatever. Like, you know, whatever style you think is cool. I mean, Nick, do you think the gray looks cool? It just, it feels weird to me. It feels like, you know, a made-up jersey. It's not an Eagles color.
I'm going to be honest. I think they're very, very, very ugly. Like, I think they're god-awful. Like, they're just awful. I would not buy them. Like, you want the jersey that they're going to wear in the game. Like, why would you not produce all these jerseys and have the green ready, have the black ready? I mean, it's what they wear every single week. Why would you make this new concept that people really don't want?
I the grays kind of remind me of what they used to wear in the Pro Bowl. Like, that's what it looked like. Like, it's like a Pro Bowl jersey, which, you know,
like the All-Star game jersey, like in Major League Baseball, they're kind of hideous too. Like, go back to the normal way of going about it. The normal jerseys, what they're actually wearing. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to find out the true explanation of what's going on here. I mean, I'm almost like half kidding, but like, did they run out of green ink? Like, are we to the point where something silly happened? They're like, well, screw it. We'll just manufacture 5,000 gray jerseys and hope they sell. It's odd. I would think, you know, as time goes on, these will be for sale with the patch. But again, to the point of our last call about getting the most sales now, I mean, this is the time. Like, if they win, obviously you could sell Hurts with the patch on it forever. Like, that'll live forever in Philadelphia. People wear that for the next 40 or 50 years. But, like, there is a world where they lose the game. I mean, if they lose the game, is that going to be a big sale? I mean, I would think not. I mean, some people would still want it. Jalen Hurts with a Super Bowl patch. They made the Super Bowl. Okay. But I would think the sales on an Eagles green jersey, Jalen Hurts with the patch on it, the sales for that would plummet if they're available next week, week after, and they lose the game. I just don't think it's as popular of a jersey. I mean, people are not going to spend money for that. Let's talk to George at South Philly. Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, George. What's up?
Well, I was looking at a couple points to the game. I mean, one of the things I look at right off the bat that will frustrate me if they don't do it is slowing down these receivers, like banging them right off the line. Just coming in there like with full force and flying like from beginning of the game from the first minute to the last minute. And Mahomes, he's best when he's freelancing. So if they could get to Mahomes or our pass rush, then I think we have a great shot because of the fact that once he starts running around back there, that's when it seems he's the most dangerous, when he's, you know, freelancing and moving people around. Because if they get to him and they bang him off the line, they're going to slow these guys down, and he's not going to be able to throw his nice, clean, crisp passes that he usually does.
You're right about that, and it's interesting. You know, I saw a report at NFL Network with Mahomes and the idea that he's going to push it in practice on Friday and Saturday or Thursday and Friday with the idea that they want to know, like he and Reed need to know before the game starts, do they have that in their arsenal, right? Like him out of the pocket, him on the move, or has he got to kind of – because in the Bengals game, when they won the AFC title, George, he basically just stayed in the pocket until that last play where he had a scramble to get in field goal range. He didn't move much. So that's a big deal. Like, if he can't move, I think the Eagles get to him. If he can move, obviously he's more dangerous.
Right. And that's one question I wanted to ask you, too, and then you could grab somebody else on the line. Obviously, they've lost a few games this year. Obviously, Sirianni's going to look at all that and all the other coaches. But the Bengals played the Chiefs pretty tight. How good are the Bengals compared when you look at the Eagles? Can they do the same things or more? And if that's possible, then we will win this game.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, and you're right about the Bengals, and it's gone back 2 years now. I mean, it really has. George, appreciate the phone call. The Bengals had won three in a row against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they obviously, you know, the Chiefs knocked them out this time and beat them in the title game 23-20. But if you go back to the three losses for the Chiefs this year, they lost to the Colts early in the season 20-17, week three. They lost to the Bills 24-20 in week number six of the season, and then they lose again until the Bengals game in week 13, 27-24. I mean, the first thing that jumps out to me about their three losses, they lost by three, they lost by four, they lost by three. So when they lose, it's close. Now, I'll use the Bengals one because I think that's the most recent one. It is the most recent one. And maybe we could take something from that. The one thing about those games, and the one thing just quickly off the top, the first thing I noticed with those games against those teams, number one, Cincinnati won the turnover battle, zero turnovers. Okay. Number two, Cincinnati won time of possession. They kept Mahomes off the field. They didn't turn the ball over. And it was time of possession. The third thing that I noticed is they were able to – both those teams ran the ball the Bengals ran the ball on them. And I think, you know, we could go back to how the Eagles won this year. time of possession was usually in their favor, and they didn't turn the ball over. I mean, I think sometimes we overcomplicate this stuff. Like, if you don't turn the ball over and you are able to, you know, hold the ball and not give it back to Mahomes and limit possessions, you're going to have a better chance. Let's talk to – so Dave in Germantown ordered one of the jerseys, one of the gray ones that's out there. Dave, what are you thinking tonight, man?
Hello, I'm taking my son to see on that work. Hello?
Hello, Dave.
How you doing? Yeah. I would have got that gray shirt. I'm looking for a green Eagles Super Bowl jersey, and I had to get the gray one.
So because they didn't have any green ones?
They ain't had no green one.
That's ridiculous.
They didn't even have the black one.
So do you even like the gray, or you just wanted a jersey so you got it?
I just wanted a jersey. I always wanted a Super Bowl jersey with the Super Bowl, so I just got it. But I did get a green Eagles hat with the Super Bowl on it.
Okay, well, that's good. So what players you get? You get Hurts?
I got I wanted Reddick. They didn't have Reddick.
Wait a second. They didn't have Reddick?
They didn't have Reddick. That's what I was looking for.
It's ridiculous.
They only had A.J. Brown, Hurts, of course, Smith, Devontae Smith, mm-hmm. Kelsey. And that's it. I'm not mistaken, that's it.
Yeah, that Dave, I gotta say, and Dave, man, I preach the folk. That's a bad job. But I first of all, I don't know who's in charge. Whether it's the NFL, if it's the manufacturer that makes the jerseys. I feel like the teams have way too much going on to be involved in making these decisions. Like, they got a Super Bowl, they got to come out here, they got all that stuff going on. I don't know where this comes from, but wouldn't you think right now Hassan Reddick's jersey would be popular? Wouldn't you want to put some of those out? I mean, he's a local kid who signed back with the Eagles, had an incredible season, and just had an incredible, you know, if they gave out MVPs of championship games, AFC, NFC, Hassan Reddick would have been the MVP of the NFC championship game. I don't get it. I saw these stories, and Nick sent it to me, and I haven't gone to the NFL store here in Phoenix because I've just been busy the last couple days, but it's one of those things because I'm not home. I'm out here. I probably at home I would have noticed it, right? I would have been in a local store. It probably would have hit me in the back of the head. But when I heard the story, I was like, "It's ridiculous." Jerry in Newcastle. What's up, Jerry?
Joe, what's happening, brother?
Jerry, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, bro. I'm heading to my truck, getting ready to hit the road for the Super Bowl. So I'll be out. I don't know what state I'll be in, but my horn will be rolling when we win that thing.
I like to hear that. I like to hear. So, you trying to buy a jersey, Jerry? What are you thinking?
Jerry, I already checked that stuff out, and I noticed the same thing about a day and a half ago, 2 days ago. You can't find any green. They changed it all to gray with the logo on it. There's something going on because I have a friend that gets me stuff, and same thing in that world. That you cannot find this green. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a shortage on the color green in that material or what. But no, dude, it's all gray. It's all gray from here out.
Oh no, we got to get this fixed, Jerry. Listen, man, I appreciate you. Have a safe ride, and we'll be listening for that horn honking wherever you are over the next couple of days. It's bizarre because this didn't happen last time. I mean, you know, when they were in the Super Bowl last time, I don't remember any of this stuff with the jersey and you can't find it. There's got to be more to the story. I mean, could the NFL really have ran out of green? Like, we're talking about billions of dollars within this business that they sell tons of these jerseys. It is odd. Let's talk to Gary in Whitehall. Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's happening, Joey James?
Gary, what's up today?
Oh, it's all good. Did you get yourself an NYPD pizza?
Not yet. Tomorrow is my plan. I'm coming in early to Radio Row. I'm going to get myself pizza tomorrow.
Okay. Good deal. Hey, real quick, I want to give a shout-out to you and Jerry. How's that?
Oh, love it, Gary. There we go.
I'm concerned about Mahomes because if he can become a three-step passer in that pocket, mm-hmm. it could be dangerous, but I don't know if he has it in him. He likes to improvise and, you know, play a little, you know, playground football. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if he has that in him or not. I'm sure he does. He's a very good, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. On the flip side of that, I am so glad that we got more naysayers out there, because the more negative, the better for me, because, you know, I just heard about Colin Cowherd saying that Jalen Hurts is ranked number 9 out of the 2 teams.
Which, I mean, you know, it's kind of amazing, Gary. He's going to finish 1 or 2 in the MVP of the league, but he's the 9th best player on the field in this game.
I mean, granted, yes. I don't think he's the best player on the field, but I don't think he's number 9. I put him top 3. Mm-hmm. The more negative naysayers, hey, that's perfect. I mean, you know, this is a little flip from 5 years ago. You know, the whole playoff run in 17 and 18 there, we were always the underdog. Now we're the favorite, but, you know, we're still not really the favorite because all the negative.
Well, it's almost like, yeah, every time, you know, they are, I mean, they're the betting favorite. And Gary, I appreciate the phone call, but they're still the naysayers. And, yeah, Cowherd's list. I mean, if you missed it earlier, I ran through it. He had Hurts ranked as the 9th best player in the Super Bowl. I have him, too. I mean, right behind Mahomes. I mean, 9, look, there's a lot of good players, and we could talk about Reddick and Chris Jones and Creed Humphrey and obviously the 2 Kelseys. So, it's, you know, someone's got to be down the list. I mean, like, you make a list, you might leave off Darius Slay, and there's no slight. There's probably 14 or 15 star players in this game. That's why these teams are in the Super Bowl. But 9th, for a guy that's going to finish 1 or 2 in MVP, silly. Jason's in Swedesboro. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing tonight, buddy? What's on your mind?
Oh, man, I just want to – this Colin Cowherd thing. You know how I feel about sports journalists like this. And, Joe, you think I don't like Chris Sims. You have a whole other thing when it comes to Colin Cowherd. I despise that man. Like, he is like what I hate about sports journalism. Everything he says is just like a click. Like, he just wants clicks and views. And I feel like he only wants it because he knows his sport takes are bafflingly dumb. So he doesn't try to even attempt to make any like good ones anymore. He gets proven wrong too much to even try to attempt to make logical arguments anymore. So he just says stuff to where he gets to mix in like hot takes, like putting Jalen Hurts at 9 to throw along with, you know, having Creed Humphrey at like top 5. It's like, I think Creed Humphrey's phenomenal. I think he had a chance to win Rookie of the Year, and if they actually looked at linemen, he would have won Rookie of the Year. But the fact that you have him above Jalen Hurts and above A.J. Brown is just – and Hassan Reddick as well. It's like that's just baffling. That's just like – there's no point in doing that. You know what I mean?
Well, you know – and well, here's what it is, Jason. He knows this – he knows us. He knows Philadelphia well. Like, he could have snuck Hurts in there at 3 or 4 on the list. We probably don't make that big of a deal, right, if he puts it behind Travis Kelce or whatever. Like, okay. But by putting him 9, I mean, he knows what he's doing, right? He's gonna get me to react. He's going to get you to react. He's going to get people to share that video and say Coward's a moron. So we get it. We know what's going on.
Yeah, and there was a video, I think him and Nick Wright have been doing a lot of, like, duo things. And Colin Cowherd was, like, called himself his mentor over Nick Wright. And I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense as to why Nick Wright has been saying some insane. Because Nick Wright, I think about 2 years ago, he made a lot of, like, reasonable, good takes. And then all of a sudden, he just started making some outward, baffling takes, like, every week that was just, like, how can you even, like, where is your, like, basis for that take? Like, where does that even come from? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and obviously, and look, all of this, and Jason, I appreciate it. You know, everyone's got their own stick or content or whatever they're doing. And I think both those guys are really smart. It's not about being smart. It's just about being, you know, you're on some things, you're right about some things, you're not, right? But you all miss or whatever. And Cowherd can rank anyone the way he wants. He does his top 10 before every playoff game or every big game. That's cool. I did a top 10. But having Hurts where he did, it's ridiculous. I mean, it is ridiculous to have him that low. He's clearly higher up the list. We're ranking the players in this game. 215-592-9494. It is how you hop aboard. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls. And Nick Sirianni spoke today. We'll bring that press conference to you. The Nick Sirianni press conference coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. We all have our systems when we bet. From picking the perfect upset to combing through injury reports the night before the game. But there's one thing every bettor should include in their system. The responsible gaming tools available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These tools help keep your play in check and under control. Look, tools like time limits so you don't unknowingly spend more time in the app than you intended. Wager limits helps you prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. And Look, I really like the FanDuel app. FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fun and entertainment. So visit FanDuel.com/playwell and make responsible gaming tools a part of your system. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you live from Phoenix, Arizona, the site of Super Bowl 57 on Radio Row here. I was just walking over again. I am for sure now that it's a new episode of the New Heights show. Kelsey Brothers recording, like, you know, about 100 feet from where I am right now. So I'm sure their pod will be out tomorrow at some point. It's pretty cool. I mean, for anyone out there who has a sibling, it's an amazing week for these guys. I mean, they get to play against each other, doing podcasts together this week, kind of have that brother thing all week long until the game when they're on opposite sides there. An amazing week for the Kelsey family. 215-592-9494. Quickly, before we go back to the phone lines, we did have an anonymous caller call in on the break. We'll mention something to the effect of perhaps with the Eagles' word mark, with the change, you know, they may have been a change in how they manufactured when they stopped using the one they had in the past, and they just are behind where they need to be. So I don't know, maybe it's part of it, that the change in the way the Eagles put their logo, their word mark, that, you know, they kind of shifted over to the new one, but maybe they're behind. I don't know. All I know is gray jerseys is what people could get right now. Dan is in the Poconos. Hey, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
So, got it, Dan.
The jersey thing, it had to do with that one, the word mark, how they changed it over summer. Nike did not have a chance to produce it to put it on this year's jersey. So this old logo, or the old word mark on the green jersey, this is the last time that's going to be worn. So either Nike or whatever did not have enough time to produce new ones or current jerseys for the Super Bowl, which is why the only thing that's left are the gray jerseys, because they're trying to dump the inventory so they don't have to eat it.
So you're saying, because the season was so good, they're in the Super Bowl, like, they're just out, they're out now, right? They're running out because they haven't produced more. So the ones that were made in the summer, beginning of the season, they're basically tapped out.
Yeah, so the right below the neckline where it has the Eagles word mark, that's going to be the new one next year. I don't think that they had enough time to produce that little patch, considering how big Nike is. So it doesn't have to do with the jersey. It's that little patch. That's the issue.
Got it. Yeah, you know what? That makes sense. I mean, Dan, we appreciate the phone call. If that's the case, and it seems like a couple people, you know, are onto this theory, it's just bad timing. You know, if the Eagles had an 8-8 or 8-9 season or whatever, got knocked out in the first round, we probably never talk about this because there's not a demand for jerseys. Not everyone's going down trying to buy them because they're not deep in the playoffs, not in the Super Bowl. So no one cares, right? By the time you know, there's enough that if you just want to buy a random jersey in February, you can just buy it. And then they would manufacture new ones by the time we get to the offseason, the draft, and no one knows, no one cares. It's just what bad timing, just bad luck by the NFL that this is when they change the word mark. This is the year. They have a big season. Popularity's up. They're in the Super Bowl. And that's why everyone here in Arizona is like, why are there only gray jerseys? And apparently back home as well. Crazy stuff. All right. Promised we would play the Nick Sirianni press conference. We have Sirianni coming up. Hear everything he had to say today. Jody Mack will be with you coming up at 10 p.m. tonight. I'll be here Radio Row tomorrow night. We'll have Elliot for a full hour. I believe we're also working on having a couple former NFL players who are on Radio Row going to be here tomorrow on the show as well. So big show planned tomorrow night. We got Nick Sirianni next. Full press conference, and then Jody Mack coming your way at 10 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Nick, when you gathered the team yesterday for your team meeting, what was your overall specific message to the team as you started Super Bowl week?
Just being locked into the scenario, to the situation that we're in, and going through the same routine that we go through, if we're at NovaCare. So that was the big part of it, was just talking about the distractions that are here, that can be here, how it's a little bit different, and how we just need to go about our business like we have been for the past 20 weeks.
The emphasis on connection, Nick, how much of the messaging is about this being the last chance that this team will get to play together?
You know, you don't look at it that way. You work hard to connect every day, regardless of the scenario. We look at this as an opportunity to play for each other again, to not, you know, to get better this week and to play for each other. And You know, we're just in the habit of connecting the whole time too. I mean, these guys are out here doing, you know, different things to connect with each other, going out to eat, playing ping pong in there, shooting hoops in there. So they're doing that because that's just what we've been done for the past 20 weeks.
Nick, we talked so much. First year head coach, slow start. How or where did you find the resolve to kind of stick with who you were, what you were about, kind of turn that thing around last year and obviously
you know we started really slow our first year in Indianapolis too. I think we started 1-5 that year, and I just remember Frank talking about doubling down on the things that you know are important, and you know, and he may have said it a little bit differently, but that's kind of how I said it. You know, when we started off 2-5, we talked about doubling down on, you know, connecting, doubling down on competing, accountability, football IQ, fundamentals, and just continue to grow. Even though the outside world might not see that we're growing, we knew we were. And it's not like when you say doubling down too, it's like we weren't saying anything crazy. It was like, hey, the best teams connect with each other, right? The best teams compete their butts off, and so it was just getting the things that we already knew were true, were just doubling down, knowing we had a good process, you know, that we liked our process, we knew what we had a good process, but we could tweak some things with schedules, we could tweak some things with, you know, the systems that we were running. And so, you know, that was the main message, is doubling down on the things that we knew were important, and just keep going to work. And I think another big thing was just, you know, not looking at, hey, we're 2-5 right now, and we got to climb that mountain right now. Like, you didn't have to, right? Because if you look at it like that, it can be overwhelming. If you look at it like, we're in this hole, and we got to climb up and do it, you didn't have to do that. You just had to go one day at a time and one game at a time. And that was the thought process. That was what we did. And, you know, it's carried us into this week, too, where we're just, hey, what's different? Nothing. One day at a time. One walkthrough at a time. One meeting at a time. Everything, etc.
Darren, we talked so much about Jalen and all he's achieved this year, but you ever just kind of get taken aback? He's 24, and to have this kind of calmness and leadership and comfortable in this moment and be 24, how special, how rare is that for you?
Yeah, I think that's just who he is, regardless of his age. That's just who he is as a competitor, as a player. I guess it's rare in the fact, I see it every day. You know, I mean, I witness it every day of him you know, just not being caught up in any moment. And, you know, and that speaks to who he is, how he was raised, and that, you know, he's steady. And so it's impressive to see, but that's what I'm accustomed to now with Jalen. And he's the same guy every day.
How competitive have AJ and Devontae been with each other this year, and where does that show up most?
I think they've been just helping each other this year get better. You know, I don't want to say that, like, they're happy for each other when they make plays. You know, there's that little bubble that we threw in the Giants game that AJ, you know, that AJ leads the way for a touchdown, and then they're celebrating with each other, and they know that they help each other, right? That if you try to take AJ away, Devontae's going to have a big game, and vice versa. And so I don't want to say maybe they're playing ping pong or doing stuff like that where I don't see them. But I do see them just trying to help each other out and really being happy for each other's success. I know it started off a little different against Detroit, where AJ had the huge game and Devontae didn't have any catches in that game. But they just kept going back to work. We knew we'd need both of them to be in this moment right now. And they're truly sharpening each other. They're iron is sharpening iron there. They're sharpening each other. Helping each other get better, and because they are the players that they are, you know, they, you know, it's hard for defenses to try to key and take away one guy.
Nick, what was your first?
Cleared to return, and where does the punter situation stand?
Yeah, you know, we're still working through that. We don't have to make a decision now. And you knew that when you asked that question, I was going to answer you the last 18 weeks in Philadelphia. So we're still working through that. We'll see how practice goes tomorrow. He looked good last week, and so we'll. We'll just keep monitoring it.
Your relationship with Kelsey, what's that?
There is a talk about distractions, and then they're seeing it in real life. And I think last night was the perfect example, right, of having the chaos of media night. How do you as a coach quell the anxiety or the overwhelming feelings if they pop up moving forward?
Well, again, it's always about trying to stick to your routine. You know, go to basketball, right? When we're always taught, as you know, sometimes I'll talk about basketball sometimes because I felt like I was a decent basketball player. But you try to correlate that what we're taught as young players in basketball, that okay, you're in an empty gym by yourself, and if you dribble three times and you take a breath, boom, you shoot it, right? Well, that's the same thing you do when the crowd's yelling and the people are in the background doing the thing and they're waving the sticks or whatever they're doing, and they're yelling in the gym. You take three dribbles, you breathe, and then you go. So what you're trying to do as much as you possibly can is stay in the routines that you've done all year to understand. So when you're in that moment, it's the moment's not too big. You're just going through the process. Like all we're trying to do here is to eliminate the distractions. And one way to do that, again, there's going to be free time, and we have free time throughout the, you know, in the week too. When we're in Philadelphia, you're just trying to eliminate distractions, and you try to do that by just going through your process. Listen, my family's coming in today, but I don't usually see them on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I see them Thursdays, and I'll be, you know, I'll do my best to be a really good dad on Thursday, but Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm gonna do what I normally do, and we're gonna be in the office late, continuing to work through the plan, continuing to iron out the details of the plan. And so, you know, our coaches are leading by example, and I know our captains on our team and our leaders on our team are doing the same.
Your relationship with Kelsey and Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, guys who have been here through the roller coaster over the last 5 years, how have they made you better? How have you made them better?
You know, last year when I was a first-year head coach, I've said this before plenty of times, is that I was unlike a lot of other first-year head coaches in the sense that I had four guys, the guys you just named, that were 10-year veterans in the NFL and that have been to the top of the mountain. And so to have those guys on your team, right, leading the way to my quarterback and the lines, are, you know, the offense and defensive lines are where you win football games. To have those guys on the offense and defensive line was really important for us as a football team to get through that 2-5 start, to get through the downs of the season, and then also to get through the ups of the season, because we got good leaders, we got good men on this football team, and those guys are phenomenal leaders. They lead the way not only in the standard of how to practice, how to meet, how to be a pro, how to take care of your body. Like, this is unbelievable for a guy, you know, to have Jason Kelce for Cam Jurgens. That's such an important thing for Cam and his development. And it's the same thing for, Jordan Davis with the Fletcher Cox. But got good leaders, got good captains on this team leading the way.
I'm curious, what was your opinion of last night's opening night festivities?
There were some interesting questions. No, but you know what? I think that it's cool for our guys to go see that. And again, just as long as they're not being distracted by it. And you know, but it's cool for them to go out and see that. I thought there was a lot of interesting things, a lot of cool things that we were able to be a part of. And you do what you need to do, and then you move on and go about your business and your routine.
Get to see him again, to speak to him, and what did it mean to you the way he moved on from you in Kansas City and handled that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, he was very good to me in the sense that he brought me in to talk to me. You know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to bring me in to talk to me, to let me go, right? But he did, because that's the type of person he is, and that's the type of coach he is. And I was grateful for that, even though you don't like it at the time, right? You don't like the fact that you're getting let go and everything like that. But, you know, but when he did that and really spent a little bit of time with me, and it wasn't long, but it was enough. It was a little bit of time to, you know, kind of tell me what he's heard about me and good luck to me. And I just can't, why he couldn't keep me, because he had David Culley was there. He ended up being a head coach, and who's a great receiver coach. And so it was just good. It was, you know, when I was down in that moment, he gave me strength when I was down, you know, tried to pick me up when I was down. And I think that says a lot about his character and who he is. And so I was appreciative of that. And then, you know, unfortunately, I had to do that, when I became a head coach, right? And so, even though I never worked with him, I only had that 10-minute meeting with him. You learn from everybody, right? You have an opportunity to, if your eyes are open, to learn from everybody that you see and everybody that you come in contact with. And I used a little bit of what he, you know, how he did with me when I had to do the tough part of my job of letting guys go.
Question about the philosophy of creating and preventing turnovers, and do you have any explanation for the variance that your team experienced in that this year?
Yeah, we work really hard at that. Now it always comes down to the guys on the field, you know, going through it and doing it. I'd say on offense, there's specific fundamentals that you go through and you don't ever let slide, right? To protecting the football. When you're carrying the football, you know, and then you're just doing your best to make sure that the quarterback knows where to go with the football on certain looks, and you know, and the protection's good, all those different things. But you know, as far as just carrying the football, you know, I got around Tom Rathman in Indianapolis, and I thought I was good at teaching ball security, and then I got around Tom, and I realized that how much more fundamentals there even were than what we were teaching. So very grateful to Tom, you know, because our job as coaches is we got to acquire talent, and our job as coaches is to make sure that we're taking that talent that we get and maximizing it by putting them in the right positions and by teaching them fundamentals. And just harping on fundamentals and being a pain in the butt about them and not letting anything go, and Tom was great about that. And then I get here and we hire Jamal Singleton, and he's equally as good. And so there, it's just relentless. You'd be surprised, you know, about how much we talk about the ball, and how much we teach it, and how much we, all the little things we do that we just keep thinking of, like, hey, let's add this to it. But again, at the end of the day, it's the guys going out there and executing it. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about, but then Miles has to go out and make a cut, make a spin, do something like that, and do it. That's the hard part, right? And so a lot of credit, or all the credit to our guys. And then taking it away, you know, I think we've done a good job of taking it away in the sense that we've been finishing interceptions, you know, and also, you know, hitting the quarterback and creating some sack fumbles, sack strip fumbles. I would say that, excuse me, that they get a lot of bad ball drills, you know, because if you hit the quarterback and there's a bad ball, Denard Wilson, our DB coach, never throws a spiral. He doesn't have a great arm. And he's going to be mad that I said that because he thinks he's a phenomenal quarterback. And so they get some of those bad ball drills from him. DK McDonald, our other assistant DB coach, he thinks he's a really good quarterback. He's not. So anytime they're playing catch with those guys, they get those bad ball drills that they have to finish Slay and Bradbury and Avante.
Hey, how impressed is it what Devin Allen's been able to do to make that transition from track to football and to still be on your team all these months later?
Yeah, he's a special athlete, as we all know. So he has this unbelievable speed. That really shined in the preseason game against Cleveland, and then he made a couple plays as a gunner. But he's really worked hard at it, you know, and he's this world-class athlete that really wants to give football a shot, and we're just not keeping him around just because, you know, because he's been to the Olympics or anything like that. We're keeping him around because we think he can develop into a good player, and he's done that. He's continuing to develop himself week in, week out. He's showing up on our scout team tape. That we show to our guys that, hey, watch Devin here do this. So he's done a really good one scout team player of the week a couple times. So he's done a really nice job of really going after a goal I know is important to him, being a football player.
Curtis talked about how much he wants this, saying he's starving for it. How do you find that he's kind of towed the line of not trying to do too much as a player for somebody who's so motivated? And how, you know, what's your sense of, you know, now that he enters the biggest game,
just that he's just trying to do his job. He knows it's important for, you know, the O-line to do their job. He knows it's important for the backs and the receivers and the tight ends to do their job, and his job is to do, you know, get it, you know, run the show out there, make good decisions with the football, make accurate throws, make plays with his legs when he needs to, and just not have to do, just be himself. He doesn't have to do it. I think he's seen that when he's himself and he's playing at a high level, he doesn't have to press or do anything more than just do that, because he's got some good players around him. He got a lot of good players around him, both offensively and defensively. So I just think that's the growth and maturity of him as a player. You know, he's maturing in every part of his game, from the way he throws the ball, from the way he reads the defenses, from the way he runs with the football, to knowing what he needs to do to help us win games. He's done a great job taking care of it, everything.
Last one, folks. What made you think it was going well?
In my job interview in Florida, that they asked me, that they wanted to keep talking to me, I guess. I don't know. That the interview went for about 8 hours, and they asked me to come back the next day. I guess I thought that was a good sign. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what your first date with your wife. Did you think that was going well? How did you think it was going? It did not go well. I don't know. You just have a feeling that it's going well. Okay, I guess mine did with my wife. And you just have that feeling like, hey, this is good back and forth. We see things similar. You know, I'm really able to articulate what I want to do with the team offensively, maybe what is important position-wise, what the culture, you know. But those are things that you've been thinking about your whole life, right? And so, you know, you just feel good about the back and forth. I think it's just reading people too, like the head nod, like your head nodding with me right now, right? You're vibing with what I'm saying. But I think you feel that, and I don't know, it's just a feeling that you have.
All right, next coach.
Nick, I know you spent some time.
Yeah, I got to get AC. All right.
I know you spent time in Indianapolis. How much did that help you with your career and also your time here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, you know, I have three big mentors. A lot of people have helped me get to this position. But you know, if I'm talking about mentors that I have, it's my dad, it's Larry Karras, and it's Frank Reich. Frank's done so much for me, and so being around him, there was so much. I try to help our coaches that are going to be head coaches here the way Frank tried to help me, and Frank was very deliberate about, hey, when you're running the team or this and that, think about this. Now, did I always agree with him, or did I? No, but he was so deliberate to help me, and that's one of the reasons why I feel like I was ready to, be in this position.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.